Well, for a few moments tonight, we're in John chapter 15. Last time we were together, we talked about the world. We talked about bearing fruit. We talked about keeping the commandments of God. And then this passage of scripture really talks about the world system and what that world system entails. Jesus spoke and he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." See? It hated you. Okay. And in this passage of scripture, it says the world hates people. Now, what's the world? Huh? Okay. Actually, the world, in this passage, you will find it in the Bible talks about the world as the world system. It means the system that the world has generated. And the world system is not friendly to Christianity. I don't know if you noticed that or not. And the world system is opposed to it. The reason why is because way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve said, "Hey, we're not going to listen to God anymore. We're going to do our own thing." They listened to somebody else. Who did they listen to? They listened to the devil. And when they listened to him, they began to follow his ways. And so he's actually called, the devil's called the prince of this world. And all the lying, all the stealing, all the cheating, all the hating, all the anger, all the bitterness, all the bad things that go on in this world as a result of the devil's work. Pardon me? Yeah, we're going to look at that verse and see what that means. That's right. Because the Bible says, don't love the things of the world. But it's not talking about the chair. It's talking about the system that the world has generated. And that system, it says, hates. Not only does the world hate Christians, but you know that it hated me before it hated you. Adam and Eve chose to turn their back on God. And guess what? All of us have too. At some point in our experience, if we're conscious enough to be able to do that, we choose to turn our backs on God. It's not hard to do that, is it? God says, go this way. We say, no, I'm going my way. And I can tell you, when people turn their backs on God, I'm telling you, it's almost like they become sourpusses. It's true. And in order to get rid of being a sourpuss, a lot of times they turn to other stuff. Whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol or whether it's other things, to try to find comfort, to try to find something in their lives to fill the hole that comes because of rebellion in the heart. Rebellion in the heart is an ugly thing. And anger comes there and bitterness comes there. And all this kind of stuff begins to stew in the lives of those who don't trust God. There's a great sadness on this world and a great horror associated with the way this world lives. And underneath, you can walk into some communities and you might say, oh, I see 3-4 church spires in this town. What a peaceful looking town this is. What a nice place it is. And yet, if you moved into the community where it looks like everybody gets along and everybody's happy and everybody's, you know, helping one another and all that kind of stuff, oh, if only I could move there, it would be just like living in heaven. But actually, when you get there and you move in and you start rubbing shoulders with people and you begin to live in the community, all of a sudden you hear, ooh, lots of gossip, lots of slander, lots of anger, lots of hatred, lots of trouble. The world's a mess. Not only is the world a mess, but I can say with probably some pretty good accuracy, this community is a mess. Just like mine is. And underneath the surface of the smiles and sometimes the plastic smiles that are there, there's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of bitterness. It's there. Because the world system produces this. The devil produces it. And it keeps people in a bondage and a slavery to sin. And it seems like there's no way out. Because once anger and bitterness and all addictions get into people's hearts, they don't know how to get rid of it. They don't know how to be free. They're caught. And that whole system begins to just keep generating that kind of lifestyle. And there's a great need for the Lord to come into that. But God so loved the world, that is the people of the world, that he came into the world for a purpose. He came to rescue people out of this world system. He came to bring us into a whole new relationship with him. Now, he didn't just come to say, I'm going to take you right up out of the world, bang, bang, bang. No, he wants us to save us in this world so that we can be lights in this world to direct people to a place of hope, a place of peace, a place of joy in the midst of the troubles and the trials that are in this place. And that's what happens. But the world system was not happy with Jesus Christ. The leadership system of the world wasn't happy with him. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, they weren't happy with Jesus. The Romans weren't happy with Jesus. And so what they did begin to do, they began then to look for ways to get rid of Jesus. Jesus didn't live like the world system. He didn't cooperate with it. The world system was designed so that they could stay in much power, much authority, and have pocket all the money and be in control of everybody else. And Jesus comes along and he says, that's not what the Bible is all about. I might have said this before, but there are three major powers, three types of power that the Antichrist at the end of the age will have. Do you remember what they were? I think I said it last time I was here. Almost. What's that? Political power, monetary and economic power. What was the other one? Religious power, right? Those are the three powers that run this world. Did you know that? Money, right? Politics and religion. Those are the three things that run this world. And if you haven't found that out, well, your head's in the sand. Because that's the way it is. And so those three powers that are at work, and you'll find those clearly in the book of Revelation if you look at the work of the Antichrist as he rises as a religious person, the one whom the devil possesses, and as he rises as an economic power, and no man can buy or sell unless they have a mark, and as he rises in politics and being the king, the head of kings. So what do we do with all of that system, that whole world system that will come to its culmination at the end of the age? And yet still the Bible says even now there are many antichrists in the world. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18 tells us there are many antichrists in the world. And so that means then that we live in a system that's corrupt. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that or not, but we live in a very corrupt system. It's not what you know, but who you know a lot of times. It's all kinds. If you look at the whole system, it is corrupt. Now, there's an attempt and a desire by people to want to live right. But how to perform which is good, people can't seem to find it. And so even though people start out well-meaning, and listen, there's a lot of times some people get into politics because they want to change things for the better. But by the time they get to the top, they didn't change things. The world system changed them. And sadly, that's often the case, is it not? So that somebody might start out with good intentions, but the influence and the power of the world and the economics and the control and everything that comes with that begins to corrupt the souls of men. The Bible tells us. That's why the Bible even speaks about the love of money or is the root of all kinds of evil. And so there's a system that's very powerful, that's sucking away at people and calling people to a different way of perspective, calling people away from a relationship with God and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that world system wants to suck people in, whether it's to get them addicted to this or that, get addicted to making money, addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography, addicted to rebellion. To be, as long as I'm against something, then that's good. But I don't want to be at peace. And that is what the world calls you to. And it calls our young people to that whole way of lifestyle. And the viewpoint that comes from Jesus Christ is entirely different. So when Christ comes on the scene, he says, love your neighbor, do those who do evil to you. Turn the other cheek. Don't be slanderous. Don't be full of gossip. Don't be full of hatred. Don't be full of bitterness. But I mean, I'm just making a guess that if you go down to the local school down here, it isn't everybody gets along, everybody's happy with everybody else. There's all kinds of cliques, is there not? There's none? Oh, there's none here. Oh my goodness, what a great school it must be. Perfect school you have down here, right? No, there's cliques, isn't there? And there's harsh words that are said, and snide remarks, and bitterness, and all those kinds of things. They're there because they're not only in the school, they're in the community, and they're in homes, and they're in relationships. It's a crazy, mixed up, lost, broken world system. Don't love it. Don't get part, be part of it. He calls us out from that. And yet, why it is, because we have a sinful nature, we are drawn to the very things that are ugly. You're going to watch television for a while. Most of the TV shows are not about light and lovely things. They're about murder and mayhem, about misery and destruction. People are drawn to it. Even if they don't practice it themselves, they want to sit and watch it. And the Bible says, don't have anything to do with this garbage. It's a shame to even speak of the things that are done in secret. And yet, this is the entertainment that the world lives on. Am I wrong? No. It's what we feast upon. And it creates this whole system that is opposed to the things of God. And opposed so much that when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, full of love and grace and kindness and mercy, full of justice, they hate him. And they want to put him to death. So Jesus says, hey, listen, if the world hates you, I want you to know, first of all, it hated me first. That it was opposed to me before it was ever opposed to you. And so he says, if you are of the world would love his own. And that's not the love that God talks about, though. That's the kind of love that says misery loves company. That's the kind of love that says, well, even thieves get along enough to steal together. Right? That's the kind of love the world has. Yet because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He was preparing the disciples for some rough stuff to come. You want to find out about these disciples, the apostles of Jesus Christ, what happened to them? They were all put to death. They were all martyred one way or the other. The only one that wasn't was John, but he was thrown into a pot of boiling oil. And then he got exiled to the Isle of Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation. So the rest of them were all put to death one way or the other. They were all martyred. And so the world did hate them. And it did prove out that that's the way it would be. If you're going to walk with God in honesty, there's going to be a system that's going to be against you. And it's not going to like the stands that you take at times. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep your word also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Because of me, Jesus says, because of who I am, they will attack you. They will be opposed to you. It's an awful thing to see that. It's a sad thing to see people opposed to genuine Christianity, to the reality of a walk with God. Now, there's something attractive about the Lord Jesus Christ, and multitudes were drawn to him. But the system that is the devil has in control will do everything he can to oppose it. What does that mean? That means that in a community, if you're going to start preaching the gospel and start living the life for Jesus Christ, there's going to be trouble. It's going to come. I don't know how it will come, but it'll come. The devil will be opposed to you. Not only will the devil be opposed to you, he'll find people to twist around and get you going, to oppose you. Not only will that happen, but you also have a sinful nature where you'll be tempted and tested to go in the wrong direction. The devil's angry. He's angry when I come over the mountain to come to Dingwall. He's not happy about it. He's not happy about it. And he's not happy if I'm preaching the gospel. And he's not happy if you're going to live the gospel, nor preach the gospel, or take a stand for Jesus Christ. He's going to be opposed to that. But he is happy when he watches even Christians flirt with him. He is happy when he watches Christians drift away from him. He is happy when Christians begin to move in the wrong direction. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man or woman or boy or girl who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the counsel of the world. Who does not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, this is an interesting psalm because that psalm is progressive. It starts with first listening to ungodly counsel. Listening to the world and its ways. It's all around you. It's shouting at you. It's speaking to all of us all the time. And so first, if you listen to ungodly counsel, before long, you'll be hanging around with people who are not only ungodly counsel, but you'll be hanging around with people who are doing ungodly deeds. That's the second thing that happens. First, you listen to ungodly counsel. Secondly, you begin to stand in the way with sinners. You begin to do what they are doing. And the third thing that happens, you sit in the seat of the scornful. That means that you take your place and you mock the very Christianity. You mock the very things that were true and that you know are true in your heart. It's a progressive thing. If you dance with the devil, you're going to get stepped on. Okay? And you'll get burned, that's for sure. If you walk with the world, it'll chew you up and spit you out. The devil's been lying, and the world system has been moving in that direction for centuries, and the proof is in the pudding. Just watch and see what happens when people walk away from God and the truth. It produces trouble. Now, there's a cost. If I'm going to stand and I'm going to walk for God and I'm going to let Jesus Christ have his way in my life, there's a cost. But is the cost worth it? That's the question. Is it worth it to walk with God in an ungodly world? Because it's not easy. It's hard. It's troublesome at times. And at times it can cost even your life in certain societies. And eventually, probably here in North America, it'll cost you yours if you walk with God in Jesus Christ. Or it'll cost you your reputation in a community because you will stand for the truth and live it. But is it worth it? Jesus says it's worth it. It's worth it to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. It's worth it to walk with God and to say, Lord, you can have me and you can have all of me, every part. But Jesus says that the world will persecute you and come against you for my name's sake. Now listen, if you're an obnoxious person, and maybe you might even be a preacher, but you could be a preacher and be an obnoxious person. You could be a preacher not love, maybe going around telling people they're going to hell, screaming at them, not loving them. And if you get persecuted for that, good enough. You deserve it, right? If you're being obnoxious, if you're not being kind, if you're not, you know, full of love and mercy, speaking the truth. Now, don't get me wrong. I will speak about hell, but I don't like to. If I speak about hell, I speak about with tears in my eyes. But if you're going to be an obnoxious person, and then you're going to say, oh, I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian, because you're just being downright obnoxious, well, you deserve to be persecuted for that. So, if you're going to suffer, suffer for the right reasons. If you're going to suffer, suffer for being a Christian who loves God and walks with Him. Let me encourage you to walk that way. Jesus, speaking of the world, he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Now, he was not saying they weren't sinners. What he was saying was that I'm exposing their sin. I'm letting you know what it's really like. Remember how he said? He said, you've heard of old time, don't commit adultery. But then he says, if a man looks on a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery. He exposed their sin. He revealed their hearts. And they didn't like that. They didn't want to see that. But he says, listen, you got no excuse now. Your sin is exposed. You thought, well, oh, you know, I'm not bad. But now God says, no, you're worse than you think. And you need me to save you. You need me to rescue you. And so he said, if I hadn't come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also, John 15:23. And if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they've seen and also hated both me and my Father. Jesus says, okay, they thought they were okay. The Pharisees thought, we are the most holy people on the planet. That was the religious rulers. And those holy people, they thought they were so good. Jesus comes along and he tells them, repent, repent, you're sinners. And then he shows them their sin. He speaks to them and makes it plain about their sin. And then he goes and he does these miracles that says, okay, I'm from God here. I am from God, and I'm telling you, you need to turn from your sins. And what did they do? What could they have done? They could have fallen on their faces and said, oh God, forgive me. Lord, you showed me that I'm a sinner. Lord, you showed me that I've done wrong. Lord, you've revealed who you are. Thank you, God, that you've revealed my sin. Because what does God want to do? He wants to forgive us our sins. He wants to take away our sins. But if we're not willing to turn from our sins, they won't be forgiven. But if we're willing to turn, he takes them away. And when he takes them away, we have this wonderful love relationship with God. And that's what God wants for us. Even though we're broken, even though this world's a mess, God wants to rescue us and bring us into a love relationship with him. But if we're caught up in the world system as these people were, what did they do when they saw who Jesus really was? When they saw his glory? When they saw his love? When they saw his compassion? When he reached out and he heals a man on the Sabbath day and they're all shaking their heads and you shouldn't do that on the Sabbath? He reaches out and loved people. When he goes to the most broken people and he comes alongside of them and helps them and draws them. What did they do? They hated him. They hate both me and my Father, Jesus said. They were against him. And they opposed him to the point where they crucified him and nailed him to a cross. But this has happened, Jesus said, that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Quote from the Psalms about Jesus. And this is what he says. They hated me without a cause. But then he promised, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. This is the religious people, okay? And whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Imagine. The religious people are going to kill the Christians because they're serving God. They are. Absolutely. Yeah. And so we can understand that the world system is not just the politics and it's not just the economics, but it's religion too. Sadly, religion is part of the world system. The religions that do not embrace Jesus Christ's gospel clearly and plainly and lovingly. You can have a system and they will do it in the name of God. Jesus said, many will come in my name. In my name. And they will do these atrocities in the name of the Lord. But that does not change the realities. They'll do these things because they have not known the Father nor know me. But I've told you these things, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. He says, I'm leaving the scene. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit so that you can be, I want you to be aware that if you're going to live for God, expect it to cost something. So I want to tell you today, I am going to challenge each and every one of us in this room, surrender your whole being to Jesus Christ. Don't dance with the devil. Don't think you can ride a fence and say, well, I'll just be halfway here and I'll be halfway there. I'll be a friend of the world and I'll be a friend of God. The Bible says you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God. And that's what it says. And we'll look at that verse. So don't think you can live this way. You're going to fall this way or you're going to fall this way. And on top of that, understand this, that if you're going to be a friend with the world, you will not be the friend of God. You will be sucked in by sin, and you will be destroyed as a result of it. Don't think you can go in both places at the same time. One foot in the world and one foot with the Lord does not work. And he challenges us to this, and he says, I'm telling you, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will come, and he will be in you, and he'll be with you, and he will be the comfort, and he'll be the strength, and he'll get you through whatever comes against you as far as the world system is concerned. So Jesus is giving them and warning them of what's to come because he was soon going to be crucified. This is just prior to him being put to death. And he says, I don't know if it was me. And I was telling, you had a bunch of followers. He says, okay, I'm going to be leaving you. And when I leave you, they're going to start killing you. Yeah, real encouragement, right? Oh, so encouraging, right? But he wanted them to know, but I'm not going to leave you alone. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. And the next time we come together, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and his presence and the difference that he makes. But I'll tell you this. The worst thing for some people is this. If they're not true Christians and they haven't really accepted Christ in their life, the world's tug is so strong. They know they want to live right. They haven't got the power to do it. And so they're living, trying to live in God's world without God's presence and God's power. And that's a miserable place to be. No strength for that. You need Jesus. You need total surrender. You need the Holy Spirit. So here's the injunction that's given in 1 John 2:15. We'll close with this passage. As John is writing and he gives instruction, he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And then he defines what the world is. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes." The lust of the eyes. What's the lust of the eyes? Oh, the first one is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is could be sexual, but it's not just. The lust of the flesh is just self-gratification. That's all. If it feels good, do it. That's the lust of the flesh. Whatever turns your crank, right? Whatever makes you happy in the moment, even if it doesn't matter if it hurts somebody else, as long as you feel good in the moment, do it. That's the lust of the flesh. Self-gratification becomes your God. And we live in a culture that is full of this. The whole culture is in this direction. The second one, the lust of the eyes, you see it, you gotta have it. And you'll do anything to get it. And so that's the second one. A greed that doesn't stop. Never satisfied. Having food and clothing, Paul said, to be content with that. There are not a lot of content people around. And if you think that if you have lots of money, you know, all the toys, you'll be content then, they're no more content than the other, often more discontent, because they just don't have enough toys yet. One more toy, right? Just one more toy and I'll be happy. Never works that way, does it? So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is, I am the center of the universe. I am the most important person. And so self, vanity, puffed up pride. These are the three things that are listed here as part of the world system. Eve, in the garden, went through these three things. As she looked, she saw that the food would be good for food. The fruit would be good for food. She saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and it would make her smart. It would make one wise. She would be like God, knowing good and evil. So she responded to these three things. But here's what it says. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Choose the right path. Don't love the world. Don't love its system. It's deadly. God knows you have need of food and clothing and all these other things. But oh, to be found treasuring the real treasures, to be found walking with God, and people will think you're nuts. I tell you, there's a lot of people told me I'm wasting my life serving God. I don't consider it a waste to serve him. There's people have told me, you know, I could have, you know, had a good job. I could have this or I remember one. I think I told you this story before. I was singing a song at a Bible study. This lady had come to it, and she said, when she heard me sing, she says, "What a waste! What a waste!" She said, "You could be singing country and western music, and there you are singing about Jesus. What a waste!" She said. I said, "No, it's not a waste." I said, I want my voice, I want my heart, I want my life to count for God and the things of God. There's no waste here. There is a waste at times. I've wasted plenty of time and wasted many of my resources. I've danced with the devil even as a Christian. I have gotten caught up in all of the things that are listed here. I'm not Mr. Holy here. But every time I do, I find myself empty. And when I come to God and when I rest with him, he gives me a joy and a peace and a presence that's so much more valuable than all that the world can offer. So I'm going to walk with Jesus. And he's going to give me grace to keep walking with him. And some people aren't going to like me for it, but that's okay. And if you go to certain parts of the world, it's incredible the suffering that Christians are experiencing right now because they follow Jesus Christ. The world system is against the things of God. It's against the things of the truth. It's against, if you say sin is sin, whew, you're going to be in trouble. And there's going to come a time when we're going to be able to have to take stands about what is sin and what isn't. And as when those stands are taken, there's going to be fireworks. Let's put it that way. But praise God, Jesus already warned us of those things. Trust in the Spirit of God. Let him take over your life and discover, even if the world hates us, God loves us. And we love people. So, I'm supposed to even love my enemies. I'm supposed to love those who hate me. I'm supposed to do good to those who do evil to me. If I don't go that route, then I'm getting caught up in the very world system that God calls me out of. It's kind of a tricky way to go, isn't it? So if somebody opposes you and comes against you and wants to be violent towards you, suddenly here, well, how do I respond? Not the world's way. Instead, I have to let the Spirit of God take over me and actually love that person. Crazy way. But it's God's way. Pardon? He is able to do that and cause us to live a life of love in a world full of bitterness and hatred. Let me challenge you tonight. Is there any bitterness in your heart? Is there a root in there anywhere? Just ask God to forgive you. Ask him to take it away. Let him take over your whole soul. Don't get tangled in the way of the world. Don't get caught up in the trivial, temporary, fleeting things that are passing away and miss the eternal, wonderful walk with God that you can have. Father, we do pray tonight that you will protect us, O God. We pray, Lord, that you will cause us to live for you. And if it costs us something, so be it. You are the pearl of great price. You are the great treasure, Lord Jesus. And Lord, it's a sad thing when we look at people who are blinded by the world, blinded by the devil, and missing the reality of walking with God. Oh, Lord, protect us, fill us, and may we see, oh, Lord, even if this world system is against you, we can walk in the Spirit and people can be rescued from that very snare. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Rescue us and rescue others in Jesus' name. Amen.